Numbers chapter 23. Now this continues this whole thing about Balak the king, who wants Balaam, the prophet of Yahweh, to curse Israel. And yet we know that whoever curses Abraham's seed will be cursed, and he who blesses Israel will be blessed. So to curse Israel meant he was going to be cursed himself. But Balak had offered Balaam all sorts of presents and wealth and promises that he would have power. And of course, it was so attractive to him, and Balaam was sort of running headlong towards this, even though the angel of God stood in the way trying to stop him. Yet God is kind of confirming Balaam, unfortunately, in the path that he wants to go. Well, Balaam said to Balak, "Build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bull and a ram. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps Yahweh will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." And he went up to a bare height. So I think that Balaam's plan, because he was a fake person, he wanted to pretend that God had actually cursed Israel, had cursed his people. So they're up there in some mountain or some hill, and they've gone to all the trouble to build 7 altars and offer 7 bulls and 7 rams, which would have been quite expensive in their terms. And then Balaam says to King Balak, "Well, you just stay here, and I'm just going to go a little bit up there on my own to meet with God." And I think his idea was, yeah, I'll just go up around the corner, then I'll come back down and say, "Hey, you know what, Balak, God told me I've got to curse Israel. Give me the money." Well, that's what he says. So he goes round the corner, goes up a bit higher, and God met Balaam, I guess, as an angel. And he said to him, "I've prepared the 7 altars, and I've offered up a bull and a ram on every altar." Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus shall you speak." He returned to him, and behold, he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab, obviously expecting that Balaam was going to come and start cursing Israel. Well, what does he say? He took up his parable and said, "From Aram has Balak brought me. The king of Moab has brought me from the mountains of the east. He said, 'Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, defy Israel.' How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom Yahweh has not defied?" So when God puts his spirit in men, they speak his word. And that's why the Bible is written by inspiration. And the people who wrote the Bible were carried along, Peter says, by the Holy Spirit. So the things they wrote were not their word, were not their will, but God's. And here's a typical example that Balaam didn't want to say nice things about Israel, but God's spirit came into him, and so the things that he said were not at all his words, but God's words. "From the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills I see him." And they were up on a hill overlooking the encampment of Israel. "Behold, the people shall dwell alone and will not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." So he's saying, you know, the seed of Abraham are indeed as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. They have been blessed by God. Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you here to curse my enemies, and you've blessed them." He replied, "Must I not take heed to speak that which Yahweh puts in my mouth?" Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place where you may see them. You shall see but the utmost part of them, and you won't see all of them. Curse me then from there." He took him into the field of Zophim to the top of the hill and built 7 altars and offered up a bull and a ram on every altar. He said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offering while I meet," that is, meet with God, "over there." Again, he's trying to do the same thing. I mean, Balaam wants to curse Israel. So he says to Balak, "Okay, you just stay here by the altar. I'm just going to go up a little bit further on my own." And I guess he was intending to come back and fake it, to pretend that, you know what, I met with God and God told me, curse Israel. So Yahweh met Balaam, I presume, through an angel, because when you read about God doing things or Yahweh doing things, this can be through his representative. And he put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak and say this." He didn't have any option. He had to say what he was told. He came to him, and behold, Balak was standing by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. Balak said to Balaam, "So what has Yahweh spoken?" He took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, listen to me, you son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not seen iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Yahweh his God is with him, the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of the wild ox." Well, we know from what Ezekiel chapter 20 says that they actually brought the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea, and they carried them through the wilderness. Israel there, encamped there, had idols with them. And in fact, Stephen says, quoting from Amos, that they carried the tabernacle of Moloch with them through the wilderness, as well as the tabernacle of Yahweh. They carried the star of their god Remphan, as well as the emblems of the tribes that they, the ensigns that they had to carry with them. And so, although God saw that, yet it says here, he has not seen iniquity in Jacob. If you love somebody, you think they're wonderful. And it's not that love is blind, it's not that, well, you don't notice, but it is rather that you simply see them positively. And so this is what Paul means when he says that because God loves us, he has justified us. That is, he's counted us right. This is how God deals with us, not taking up every sin and every weakness, but covering us in his love and seeing us positively. And so Balaam says, "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination possible against Israel. It shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God done? Behold, the people rises up as a lioness, as a lion he lifts himself up. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." Balak said to Balaam, "Well, neither curse them at all nor bless them." Balaam replied to Balak, "Didn't I tell you, saying, all that Yahweh speaks, that I must do?" Now, Balaam desperately wanted the reward. He ran greedily, Peter says, in the way of reward, of gain. He didn't want to say this. He didn't want to give these blessings, but God made him. He opened his mouth and he spoke them. Balak said to Balaam, "Come now, I'll take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse me them from there." Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor that looks toward the desert. Balaam said to Balak, "Build me here 7 altars and prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered up a bull and a ram on every altar. And we're going to find in the next chapter that, of course, again, God makes Balaam bless the people. You think, well, why does he these 3 times try to push ahead with God, try to force God? Why doesn't he just turn around and say, "Look, sorry, Balak, I'm not even going to try to curse God's people"? You remember how the angel had stood in the way 3 times as well to try to stop him, and he pushed on all the same. And Peter explains why in the New Testament. He says that Balaam ran greedily, headlong, he says. He ran headlong, he ran just crazy down the path he wanted to take because he loved reward. Now, this is the power of materialism. This is the power of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, because Balak was offering Balaam not only huge wealth, but also positions of power. This is how attractive it is. And it's no good saying, "Oh, well, I'm a simple, obscure little person. I'm not attracted by wealth. I'm not attracted by power." Well, I'm afraid at some point in our lives, we all are. We all are attracted by those things. And if you give yourself to them, as many people in the world do, that All you want is that wealth, is that power. You give yourself to your career or to your exams or to your business life or to wheeler dealing so that you can get more wealth and power. This is not the way to go, and people go that way to their destruction. You see, so many people do it, even people who have claimed some sort of commitment to Jesus at some point in their life. It's absolutely tragic. And Balaam stands there as an example to us not to go that way, but to simply have the humility and the strength to say no.